Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you and to have an opportunity to share God's word with one another and to reflect on our passage. I've certainly enjoyed getting to share with you week to week and really have enjoyed the feedback that you've given to me, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. But I'm also grateful for the gift of vacation. Anyone grateful for the gift of vacation? All right, well, next week I'm going on vacation. I won't be here on Sunday, and I want to let you know that we searched high and low for a wonderful preacher, and we found her in Sharonda Medina. And so next week Sharonda will be preaching. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to let you know that. So I'm looking forward to listening on the podcast on the way home, and do want to let you know about that. So if each week, if you miss a Sunday, you can listen to the sermon on the podcast. So I'm praying for Sharonda and grateful for her ministry with us. So as I mentioned earlier, we are on our second week of a sermon series, What's Next? And the passage that we look at today is from the book of Proverbs. And I imagine that growing up, all of you, like me, heard proverbial wisdom, right? These little snippets of teaching, these sentences of wisdom, these turns of phrase that are probably so formative that you can finish the sentence that I start. You want to practice? How about this? Okay. Honesty is the best. There you go. See, you're good. You know this. How about a penny saved is a penny? Excellent. Anybody have a penny in their pocket? No, but it's still a good turn of phrase, right? Do unto others as you would have them. Excellent. See, things we know how to finish this proverbial wisdom. How about this? Are you ready? Okay, no, don't. Don't. No. 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 But there are these things that we have just learned. And we call them proverbial wisdom as a way of saying, oh, it's just common wisdom, common things that common people know. Everyone knows that these are true. And some of them are from the Bible, and a lot of them aren't from the Bible. But they're still wisdom. And those that are drawn from the Scriptures are often, sometimes not even drawn from the Scriptures. But people will search their Bible diligently trying to find them. My favorite one is this. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Do you know where that is in the Bible? Nowhere. I've looked all week long, and it's not there. It does show up in a sermon of John Wesley in 1778. So at least attribute it to Mr. Wesley. The thing is about Proverbs is because they're so short and to the point that oftentimes we don't ever reflect on what else is going on in that passage of Scripture. And so we use it and we use a proverb as if everyone understands what it means and everyone knows how to apply it, and we don't need any other context to understand it. And I think the passage that we look at today is a great example of this. Proverbs 22:6. I've chosen to read it in two different ways because the way that it's written there for you that I preach from most often in the NRSV says, train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. But I imagine you grew up hearing it in a different version, the King James Version. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, I grew up hearing this phrase often, particularly from my grandmother, directed toward my mother. Remember, Jennifer, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And I heard that so often in my church, but I never heard or never once gave thought to where it came from in the Bible, what in the world was going on there, what training exactly am I supposed to be doing? Is it an exercise? Is it a set of readings? What am I supposed to be training for? And what happens if I don't go the way I should? Did my mom let me down? Did she let my grandmother down? Did I let them down? And what way exactly am I supposed to be headed? Now, I never really bothered to ask anybody these questions. I just kept them to myself. I turned out okay. But I imagine that some of us have never paused to look at what's next. So, can I read it to you? Okay, good. Proverbs 22, 7. Okay, that's not the passage, I don't think. So let's not look at that one. that one looked pretty aggressive. All right. Proverbs 22, 7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I bet you didn't know that Dave Ramsey didn't come up with that on his own. It's actually from the Bible. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the slave is borrower to the lender. Now, it seems that somehow training children and debt are connected. And that seems odd to me, except the fact that if you have children, they will put you into debt fairly quickly if you're not careful. So what in the world is going on in this proverb? Training a child in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they should not depart from it. Oh, and by the way, the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ricky, you have snuck in a sermon on money without telling me, and I am mad because I do not come to sermons on money. But rest assured, I'm only going to talk about money for about 90% of the rest of the sermon. And the reason is because when we look at the book of Proverbs as a whole, it deals with money a lot. Now, Proverbs is listed as the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And so the Proverbs outline Solomon's view of what it means to be a wise person. And it takes the form of kingly advice to his subjects as a way of saying, look, if you're going to live in this kingdom, I want you to behave in wise ways. And so, on the whole, the entirety of the book of Proverbs really sets up this idea of wisdom versus foolishness. The idea that there are ways to be wise and ways to be foolish. And those who follow God's ways are wise, and those who follow their own way are foolish. And Solomon uses these short proverbial statements, building them on top of each other, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to give this image of what it means to be wise, what it means to be a follower of God. And he often returns to similar images over and over, like being wise is like building a house. You want to lay a good foundation. You want to follow a good building plan. You want to count the cost so that you don't go over budget, right? And building a wise life is like building a good house. And so he uses these images over and over. And what's interesting is, most often in Proverbs, sin is defined as mismanagement of your funds, mismanagement of your money, mismanagement of your life. Now, when we have that overview of the whole book of Proverbs, when we look back at Proverbs 22, we begin to see what Solomon is narrowing down on. And so in the middle here in verse 6 is this passage, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they shall not stray. But the rest of that chapter really deals with a call to the rich to use their funds, their money, in generous and responsible ways. It challenges them to be generous toward the poor. And the chapter also calls those who are poor in this life to not be lazy and not to use debt to build wealth. So, for example, listen to this. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 22. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. So, if you have money to give, bread to give, give it to the poor. In verse 13, here's a scary one. The lazy person says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets." What in the world does that mean? Well, Solomon seems to suggest that there's always an excuse for not being active. There's always an excuse for not going to work. There's always an excuse. And so don't let that excuse keep you from hard work. But then in verse 16, he says, "Oppressing the poor in order to enrich oneself and giving to the rich will lead only to loss." Okay, so if you've kind of gotten lost in the weeds there, let me bring it down. The whole rest of chapter 22 seems to be a warning against the rich and the poor. For those of you who are rich, share generously. Those of you who are poor, work hard. And everyone who wants to be wise should follow God's way. And then plump down in the middle seems like this odd verse that's not like anything else. You ever seen that Sesame Street song? You know, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. In the midst of this whole chapter on wealth management and hard work is a passage on how to raise children. Now, here's an insight into what might be going on in Solomon's mind. The word here in Hebrew that's translated train is a very interesting word. Now, last week we practiced Greek, and y'all did fabulous. You did really great. So, you want to try some Hebrew? Sure. Okay, yeah. You're going to do what I say, right? Okay, great. We're going to do some Hebrew. So the word here is hanak. Say it again. Hanak. All right, I'll say it and then you repeat me. Hanak. See, it's down in the throat. You're not getting enough throat. Hanak. Excellent Hebrew. Hanak does mean to train, as if you were to train up the child. But it only appears four times in the Old Testament. And every other place, it's translated differently. Because the word hanak can also mean to dedicate. So in every other passage in the Old Testament, the word hanak is in reference to dedicating a house. And dedicating a particular house. Dedicating the house of the Lord. And Solomon, I think, is using this word intentionally. Because when you dedicate a house, you are dedicating and declaring to whom the house belongs. We dedicate this house to the Lord because it belongs to the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? We dedicate our houses to whom they belong, right? I dedicate this house to Regions Bank, for they are the true owners of the house. Right? When we dedicate something, we declare the one to whom it belongs. So what if this passage is not just good, sound parenting advice, but a reminder to dedicate our children to whom they belong? What if it is a reminder that we are to raise our children in the knowledge that they belong to God? in hopes that they will live a life that reflects that belonging to the world around them. Hoping that they will be generous, wise, hardworking, and faithful. Now, parents, hear me on this. Nowhere in the book of Proverbs are we told that these are automatic results. That if you raise a child to know God, that they won't ever walk away. In fact, these are more like divine observations than absolute promises. And I don't want you to beat yourself up as a parent, thinking that if my child grows up and stops going to church, I did something wrong. Rather, this is a promise that we should teach everyone to whom they belong. That we should dedicate every child, both our natural children and those that God brings into our life, to know that they belong to God. And what if that next passage, verse 7, the borrower is slave to the lender, is not just a warning about consumer debt, but a reminder that when we borrow something, we are indebted to them. And here's what I mean. In chapter 22, verse 2, the book of Proverbs, we read this. The rich and the poor have one thing in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. We have borrowed our breath from God, and we will forever carry that debt. What if Solomon wants us to remember that we will always be a slave to that lender? We will always carry that one debt with us, from the moment we breathe our first breath until the day we lay down and give our breath back to the one from whom we borrowed it. The world will try to teach us and teach our children to be indebted to so many other things. To be indebted to money, to be indebted to fame and popularity, to be indebted to what other people think about us, to be indebted to what other people want us to do with our life. There are so many other debts that will call us by our name, and Solomon wants us to dedicate our children to the great knowledge that there is one debt to which we are a slave, and one lender only to which we owe anything. You are indebted to God. And that's why this morning we gave a Bible to our third graders. Now what's interesting, if you want to see behind the curtain a bit, is that I picked this text months ago to preach on this day before I even knew that we'd be doing third grade Bibles this morning. God likes to play tricks on the preacher. Because when we gave that Bible to these children this morning, what we were saying is, you are indebted to the one you will learn about in this book. The one who loves you no matter what. The one who gave you his breath. The one who gave you his life. And all he asks in return is that you love him back. Train up a child in this way to belong and be indebted to this God. That is what we are to do as parents and as a church, dedicating this next generation to know the God to whom they owe everything. Let's pray. Eternal God, we are grateful for all the gifts that you give to us. I'm grateful for the life that you shared with us in Jesus, and grateful that we are called to worship him, that we're called to know him through his word, and called to share him with others. And so we offer you now our lives. The life that you gave to us, we give back to you. The breath that we borrowed, we return to you in praise and in prayer. Help us to live in the good news that we don't have to be indebted to anything else in this world, but the only debt that we truly owe is the one to you whom you said we could never repay, and so you paid it on our behalf. Help us this week to live lives that show that we belong to you, and lives that invite others to remember the debt they owe, the breath that they borrowed, and the life that in you will never end. Amen. Now, dear friends, we invite you to go forth from this place. And as you go, remember that you have borrowed God's breath. And so when you speak words this week, remember whose breath you're using. So go forth and speak words of kindness and goodness. Speak words of hope. Speak words that remind anyone that you meet that we belong to God. And from him, we have life and the opportunity to have life eternal. Go in peace to love and serve that Lord. Amen.